But during the first year of the new year, we set aside time and encourage our church together in a week of prayer, as I mentioned earlier. And it's also encouraged that if any of you can join us in unified fasting throughout the week, that you do so, because we know that the Word of God calls us to prayer and fasting. And when we are seeking God in miracles in our life, that is often those that would go to the Lord in prayer and in fasting. And you know, sometimes you hear the word fasting and people think to themselves, they think, oh my goodness, I can't fast. I can't go a day without meals because of these particular reasons. You know, there are many ways that we can fast. And I know that it's the new year, and I know all your shows are coming back on, so are some of mine. But some people can fast TV, some people can fast caffeine, some people, there's a lot of different ways. Some people can fast one meal, two meals. But the point is that you're taking a dedicated time of prayer. Because fasting is not fasting, and is no benefit to you if you don't take that time to pray. It's a time of denying ourselves of the physical pleasures so that we could spend time in our spiritual walk, calling upon God in prayer. But please know this, that during our week of prayer, we'll be joining thousands of other Assembly of God churches throughout the world. That during this week of prayer, January 3rd through 9th, we're going to be joining thousands, if not 5 or 10,000 other Assembly of God churches this week that are going to be seeking the Lord in prayer, believing for greater things. And I am seeking the Lord for my life and for this church's life, for your life, with a common goal. Because I'm going to believe truly for greater things this year. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to limit God, but I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe that God truly has a wonderful plan for my life, and that God can truly do that which I ask him to do according to his will. Because my God is not limited. And I believe that a powerful New Year's goal, has anybody ever made a resolution this year? How many want to admit that they made a resolution this year? And we often, as I talked about at men's breakfast yesterday, which was a great time of fellowship for the men, but I often talk about resolutions are becoming less and less, is because people, within a couple days, the resolution's already gone. They say within a week, about 95% of resolutions have already been lost. So we make these resolutions, but we make goals. And you may not have a dedicated resolution, but you do have a goal. And the goal should be believing God for greater things. How many are going to believe the Lord for greater things this year? And that should be a wonderful goal, that it can and should be included inside of your prayer life, inside of your life of 2016. And of course, let me throw this. If you're completely satisfied and need nothing more from God, then that may not apply to you. Then just pray for me. If you were to say, you know what, I'm good, satisfied, I don't need any more, I got all I need, then pray for me. I'll take it. Pour the blessings on me. But as for me and my household, we want more of what God has for us. As for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord this year in greater ways. We're going to seek the Lord, and we're going to receive from the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says this, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you." An often familiar verse. Give all your worries and your cares to God, for he cares for you. In other words, God not only cares about all areas of your life. Now listen, God cares. Do you know God cares about the small things as well as the big things? That we can talk to God about the little things. You're thinking, oh, God might be too busy to hear me on this. God's never too busy for you. God wishes and desires to hear from you, to receive whatever it is. He wants to commune and talk with you. So we say that we give all our worries, all of our cares to God, for he cares. But he cares about all areas in our life, but he also wants to talk to you about them. Not only does he say give it, but he wants to talk to you about them. You ever been to a place where just sometimes talking about something helps? Where you know, you got this situation going on, but then you just take a moment and you just talk to somebody, and then you go, oh, I feel better already. Anybody been there before? Sometimes just talking about it. And imagine having that conversation with God, and how God will certainly work inside of your life. But I truly believe that God desires his family, his children, to experience greater things this year. I truly believe that God wants to put into your life greater things. Now, this is where the importance of our prayer life becomes a reality. If we want to receive greater things, and yet we could probably agree that yes, God does truly want to place into my life greater things. The word tells me that. That he truly wants to bless his faithful. He wants to bless his children. But here's where prayer becomes a reality, because prayer is a vital part of obtaining God's blessings into your life. You know that? The prayer is a vital. Communicating with God is a vital part of receiving his blessings into your life. Because listen, believing is cultivated through prayer and devotion to God's word. Believing, remember I said earlier, we're going to believe for greater things, but believing is cultivated through prayer and devotion to God's word. In other words, in order to help your faith or for you to believe for the greater things, it will be cultivated, it will be ignited, it will be empowered through your prayers and obedience to God's word. How many still want to believe for greater things? When our hearts and our minds are aligned with God's will. Now listen, when our hearts and our minds are aligned with God's will, we can truly believe for the impossible. Let me say that again this morning. Because we've been talking about some things like impossible. We've been talking about some things that are just supernatural. But my God is a God of the impossible. My God is a God of not only the natural, but also the supernatural, things that you can't explain. I can't explain to you how God heals. I just know he does. I can't explain to you how God saved me. I just know he did. I wasn't there to witness Jesus on the cross, but I believe he went to the cross. Amen? When our hearts and our minds are aligned with God's will, we can truly believe for the impossible. In fact, the word also says this, that if you don't believe, don't expect. The word tells us, if you're not going to believe God for something, then don't expect to get from God. I mean, that's as clear as a bell. Clear as a bell. Is that a real statement? What does that mean anyways? Clarity of the tone. Okay, that just, thank you for explaining that to me. I've said that before. Sometimes we say these sayings and we're thinking, where'd that come from? Okay, the clarity of the tone. But that just doesn't sound so good. Clear as a bell. That if you don't believe, you won't get. So we must believe. How many are believing or do believe that with God, nothing's impossible? You see, in Luke chapter 137, in a wonderful supernatural act that we talked about during the Christmas season of God filling a woman by the name of Mary, supernaturally through the Holy Spirit, with a child named Jesus, a virgin birth, we hear these words, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." For with God, nothing will be impossible. I believe the only limitations come from you and me. The only limitations of God's power come from you and me. Because we don't believe it. Have you ever prayed before and went, "Oh my goodness, God answered that"? Come on now, be serious. Let's be real for a moment. You've prayed, and we all pray, right? And then all of a sudden we get so surprised when God answers our prayer. He actually answered my prayer. He did it. Wow, that's cool. Didn't you expect him to? But I, like you, have been in that same realm where I'm just surprised. He actually did it. Wow, that's great. Prayer works. Like it's some weird formula, like it's some strange phenomenon. No, the Bible says that when you pray, believe and you'll receive. For with God, nothing is impossible. So the question begs to be asked this morning, can you believe for the impossible? Can you believe that this year can be stronger in the Lord than last year? Can you believe that you can walk in healing this year? Can you believe that God can provide whatever needs and whatever you come to? Whatever circumstances happen in your life, can you believe that God's got that under control? Can you believe when the doctor says something, when the banker says something, when the creditors say something, when your boss says something that is contrary to what you want to hear? Can you believe God for greater things still? That's walking by faith. Because we don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith in God's word. And God is not dictated by what man says or does. Isn't that beautiful? Can you believe for greater things? In our week of prayer, we join together as a congregation. It's very important this week, and I'll tell you why. Because joining together with other believers can help you to stay accountable to your new goals. If you want to be accountable to a resolution or a new goal, what you should do? Get an accountability partner. Get somebody that can slap you back into place. You don't want to eat no more cake? You get an accountability partner. And when you go to eat that cake, somebody walks over and just slaps it right out of your hand. That's a good accountability partner, isn't it? You want to walk closer to the Lord this year? Less temptation, less falling into sin? Get an accountability partner. To when you start to feel like you're going to do something you didn't want to do before, you know you shouldn't be doing, you call somebody up and they come and slap you back into the place. Huh? Just makes sense. So if you want to succeed in your goals and your resolutions, you get an accountability partner. And when we join together in prayer, in a week of prayer, as a congregation, we are holding each other accountable. And let me say one more thing about accountability partner. I know I'm running a little bit late today. Well, I'm not late, but not yet. But anyways... let me say one more thing. I'm not so sure if it's making your spouse as the good person to make as your accountability partner. And any spouses know what I'm talking about? Because I will not go slap a piece of cake out of my wife's hands. I'm just saying. That'll cause worse problems. But when we join together with other believers, it helps us to stay accountable to the new goals, and it helps us to stay with it. Why do you think that the Word of God tells us to not forsake the gathering together? Why do you think the Word of God tells us to come to church? So that we could stay accountable to one another. So that we don't feel like we're cast out, and we don't feel like we're alone in this, because you're not alone in this. You have a family of believers in this place that's going to help pray for you, lift you up, and hold you accountable to your walk with God. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm a pastor, and some would say, ooh, you should walk and float with a big old robot. No, I need somebody to hold me accountable so that I can walk before Christ the way he calls me to walk. So we come to church, you all hold me accountable. And if you ever see me strain, come up and just knock me across the head. Do it. Whatever it takes to keep me on the path of righteousness. Amen? And if I can do the same for you, let me. But when we're accountable and we stay with it, both spiritually and physically in any type of goal, you have a greater opportunity to succeed. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to start something that I can't finish. That's a pain. That's a pain. It's kind of a bummer. It's a downer, isn't it, when you start a goal and you just don't finish it. It's kind of a bummer. It kind of weighs on you, and you get all kind of emotional about it and all kind of weighed down about it. And it's just like, no, I want to succeed. So we hold each other accountable. Likewise, when it comes to prayer, a unified week of prayer can help motivate you to stay accountable to the goal. So today, you are all accountable to pray to the Lord this week for greater things. And to not only pray to the Lord for greater things, but to believe for greater things. So what again is the goal for 2016 in our prayer week? Believing for greater things. But now listen, we must be careful what we ask for if we truly want to receive. How many want to know that they're going to receive what they pray for? So we have to be advised, correct? We have to be taught the Word of God. And sometimes the Word of God has a way of stepping on our toes. And you think it's the pastor stepping on you, but it's not. God did it first. I'm just repeating the step. But in James 4:3, it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Ouch. I like to pray for things and I like to get things. But James warns us in the Word of God. He says, when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, if we're honest and don't raise your hands, how many has ever prayed for something for their own pleasures? You don't have to raise your hand. But two did, so let's look at them. But of course we do. Oh, I want to win the lottery. You think that's for God or for you? But if I win, I'll tithe. So that just means you want to give God 100 grand, you want a million. You know what I mean? It's talking about our goals need to be that we need to look to God. Because in God's kingdom and God's will, I believe the Bible teaches us that the greater things that God desires to place into your life will always include, listen, will always include what he feels is good for your life. So if there are greater things from God, they will always include what he feels is good. And he will never give you something that draws you away from him. Never. God is not God if he tries to push you away, but he wants to draw you closer to him. That is why we must test all opportunities we come across. In 2016, you want to go closer to the Lord, test the opportunities that come your way. And you say, well, how do I test them? With these questions, here's a few basic questions. Does this opportunity line up with his word? Is what I'm about to partake in, does it line up with God's word? If it doesn't line up with God's word, then it's not from God. That's a fact. God does not go against his word. Is what I'm about to do come across, line up with his word? Is God glorified through this? Is this opportunity that God placed in front of me, is God glorified through this? Meaning, will I draw closer to him in fellowship, in worship, or not? And again, if what you are doing takes you away from God this year, then you better check yourself before you wreck yourself, because it may not be from God. Do you know that the enemy likes to give us opportunities too? Not opportunities to succeed, but opportunities to set ourselves up to fail. And the Bible teaches us that the angel comes as a light. That means that when this opportunity comes, it looks and smells good. So maybe it's from God. And I'm not saying that your opportunities are not from God. What I'm saying is test them. Test all opportunities. Test all opportunities that come in circumstances so that you know that these are from God. Because if they are from God, then they will truly be a greater thing in your life. They will truly be a blessing in your life. You see, our prayers of greater things for our lives need to be filled with godly desires. Meaning less of what we want and more of what God desires for us. And you're thinking, well, then how am I going to prosper? If I'm just praying God's will, if I'm just praying, you know, what God wants, and, you know, can't I throw in a little something-something for me? Can't I just be a little bit? What about me? Let me tell you about you. Pastor Willie hit it the nail on the head this morning. He said that when you give unto the Lord will give unto you. The Word of God confirms that the more we give to God, the more he gives to us. That's the Word of God. It teaches us that when we give to God in our time, our abilities, our treasure, and whatever it is, that God will bless you. I don't seek things in my life, but I'm going to tell you something. I live a blessed life. And things in my life have been taken away from me, or I've lost things. But I'm going to tell you, today I stand a blessed man of God because my family ties, because we give unto the God in our service and our ability. And today God has restored every single thing, and he gives me a lot of my wants too. Now, I did not receive my 2016 Challenger this year. But I'm just going to high-performance model. I saw it at Dodge when I went there, and they tried to sell to me. It was just a little bit over my budget, Pastor Willie. I know you're a car connoisseur. It was just a little bit over my budget. If you've been here, you understand that. He'll tell you about it later. But when they told me the price tag was $100,000, I had to blink and just walk away. I just said, you know what? If you'd have said one, I might have been able to make payments. But $100,000 can't do it. But it sure was a cool ride. It sure was. I don't know where I went with that. But God has blessed my life. And you're saying, is this a boastimony? No, this is not a boastimony. This is a fact, Jack. Because all I can tell you is what God has done in my life as my testimony, in my family's life. I can tell you that I'm blessed that my family, my future son-in-law, is taking on the word and tithing. And you know what? I'm so blessed by that, and I'll tell you why. Not because I'm telling you his business, but because that guy is going to marry my daughter. And I want my daughter to succeed. And I know how my daughter is going to succeed, and it's going to be obeying the word of God. So my God is setting up my daughter, my future son-in-law, to succeed. Because they're trusting in the word of God. Because they're given unto the word. And what I'm praying and what I'm seeking for is for God's desire. What does God want for my life? What does God want to pour in? Do you not think that God does not want his children to enjoy the finer things of life? Are you kidding me? We are children of the King. He owns everything. God knows how to bless people. Has anybody ever received a blessing from God? About half of you. Okay. The rest of you this year. Prophecy, I hope. But if what we get or do glorifies God, then it will truly be a greater thing. If it glorifies God. You see, because James 1:17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Listen, God will only place into your life opportunities or things or circumstances that will ultimately draw you closer to him and not away from him. And you're thinking, well, man, I went through some tough stuff in 15. How in the world? Well, guess what? You're here. And God uses those trials and those tribulations also to draw us closer to him. Because if we didn't walk in the valley in the hard times, how would we know what it is to feel the good times? How would we really know? And how could we rejoice if we truly didn't know the other side? But God ultimately wants to draw us closer to him. And in Matthew chapter 6:33, it says this, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. This, to me, is an absolute in our Christian walk, folks. An absolute. Because if we want to receive, this is an absolute. What am I talking about? All believers must find themselves learning the value of pursuing God first. We've got to pursue God first. Before we call Roto-Rooter, before we call the doctor, before we call our attorney, before we call anybody else, before we call Ghostbusters, we've got to talk to God first. We've got to talk to God. And we've got to seek him first and say, God, what do you think about this? God, you know I have this need. Lord, can you help me? Lord, how can you provide this for my life? You see, if you seek God first and you pray about it, listen, everything will fall into place. When you seek God first and pray about it, everything has a way of falling into place when you involve God. Not involving God in your situation is like taking out the greatest resource in your life. So sometimes we do that, don't we? We take God out of the equation. And yet God sits back and says, you know, I can help you with that. No problem, God, I got this. Okay, go for it. But you know, I really can help you with that. Any parents in here ever raised their children and said the same thing? You know, I can help you with that. Nope, I got this. You're about to, I can help you with that. I got this. Ouch. Mom, Dad, can you help me with this? Yes, I will. But God is ready, willing, and able to hear from you, to receive your prayers, and he's willing and ready and able to help you. Everything falls into place when we seek the kingdom of God first, above all else. Because we tend to think that we simply can do things alone. That we can either work harder and we can make it happen by ourselves. I was great at that. I'm a guy. We like to solve problems and do it. But when we believe that we can do it alone, it's simply not seeking God first. We have to include God, whether you're male, female, child, young, old. Seek God first, the Word of God says. Because if you don't seek God first, that is not a good plan for success. But if you want a plan of success, do what Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. And let's not forget the living righteous part. Because we can say, well, seek the kingdom of God above all else first and then kind of gloss over. But remember, let's not forget the living righteously part. Simply this, our lives must be a reflection of our faith in Jesus. Because I don't know about you, parents. I don't know about you, but I don't bless my children for being disobedient. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. But I want to give them all I can when they are obedient, when they are living according to the rules. I want to bless them. And likewise with God, that we must live righteously before God. And our reflection of our lives must be our faith in Jesus. That when somebody sees you, they got to see God. What do people see when they see you? Just another mug down the street? I want them to see Jesus. I want them to see a righteous and holy God in my life. I want them to truly understand that, hey, there's something different about this guy. This guy shines of something. He must go to church. Yes, I do. See, when we seek God first, and when we live according to his word, listen to me, there's no telling what greater things God will do or bring into your life. When we seek God first in prayer, when we live according to his word, there's no telling what God will do inside your life. Why? Because listen, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 gives us a wonderful, wonderful description of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to the power that is at work in us. What is Paul saying here? Paul's saying that you can't even imagine what God can do in your life if you would simply seek him, trust him and live according to his word. You can't even imagine what God can do in 2016 if you would just stop and seek and pursue God and pray and believe and live according to his word and do what God calls you to do. You can't even begin to fathom what God can do. I can sure imagine a whole lot of things. But remember, those things might be what Anthony wants and not what God wants for Anthony. So we have to be careful, don't we? Because I want a lot of things, just like anybody else. But I really want what God wants for me. Because when God gives it to me, it's a greater thing. It's a greater thing. So the question begs to be asked as we are closing, what are greater things? What are greater things? We're going to talk more about that next week. What are greater things? But some may say, I can tell you what a greater thing is, a new car, a new house, more money. And yes, I would agree. There's no doubt that those are good things. But I'm talking about greater things from God, man. I'm talking about things that come from the heavens. And yes, God gives those material things too. But there's so much more to God and living in God than just these small material things. Amen? There's so much more to God than just what we see. God doesn't need to give me another thing. Take care of my family. Bless my children. Keep them in good health and prosperity. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Lord, if you should wait, let me see my grandchildren. Right? Everybody know what I'm talking? Those are great things. Those are wonderful things. I don't need a new car. I want my children to be blessed. I want my children to be blessed. But in order to be classified as a greater thing for your life, let us turn to the week of prayer as we conclude to fully grasp what we're talking about. On Sunday, here's our prayer. Believe for greater things. Pray that God will stir faith in your heart to accomplish greater things than you could ever imagine and through your life this year. Boy, you do that for God, and God will turn this world upside down for you. So pray that God will stir your faith in him, in your heart, to accomplish greater things. Monday, this is in your bulletin. It's your bulletin handout. Believe for the impossible. Is that a powerful prayer on Monday or what? Believe for the impossible. I've seen the possible. I want the impossible. Pray that in the midst of impossible circumstances, doubt will be replaced by absolute trust in God's promise to intervene in your need or circumstance. Who needs a little bit of that? Amen. Make that your prayer. Not just this Monday. Make it every Monday. Tuesday, believe for perseverance. Seek God for strength to keep moving forward, even in the midst of discouragement or suffering, knowing that faith to persevere strengthens character and kindles hope. That's Bible. Pray for strength and believe to persevere. I need that. I need that. And on Wednesday, believe through tears. Give thanks that even in the midst of brokenness, God can shape his purpose in your life to bring fulfillment and joy. Do you know even in the hardest parts of times of your life, God can bring joy? That's impossible. How can I be joyful in the hardest times of my life? I don't know, but God can do it. Because with God, all things are possible. Amen. And on Thursday, believe with obedience. Pray that with absolute trust in God, you will say yes in obedience to his direction in your life. Am I going to tell you this again? Yes, I'm going to tell you this again. If you walk in the will of God, you will be blessed. Beyond measure, God will do something incredible. God's not held by what we think is possible, but he can do all things because he's God. Believe with obedience. And Friday, believe in God's care. Give thanks that because of God's care, you can be at peace regardless of circumstances you face. Peace that surpasses all understanding. That's supernatural. And the more I walk with God, the more things I face, the more at peace. Hey, Dad, you didn't freak out this time. Well, just maybe God's working in my heart and I have peace through this. You know what I mean? That's a wonderful thing to have in your life is peace and joy. And then finally on Saturday, believe for tomorrow. Give praise to God for his powerful assurance that he is working out his plans and purposes in your life, both in the present and in the future. Praise the Lord that he who begun a good work in you is not done with you yet, and that he is faithful to complete that which he started. We started off the service with that. If you're not quite where God wants you to be, believe for greater things. Believe that God's not done yet and that he can draw you right back in. My challenge and blessing to you is this. Join me and pray each day for the Lord to bring these greater things into your life. Join with me in obedience and prayer, seeking the Lord first. Join me and seek for greater things this year and for our lives. Join me and choose to live as a testimony of God's glory. Join with me and believe for greater things. And I believe together we will experience more than we could ever, ever imagine. How many wants to believe with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. God, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And this year, we are truly believing for greater things. I pray that together we are accountable as a church, that each one that's hearing these words, God, is accountable to pray this week and to believe for greater things. And God, I just am opening up just the heavens and saying, God, pour down your blessings upon us, God. Help us to believe for greater things and let us hear testimonies of what our God is doing in our lives. You need a touch from God. You want to grow in God. Believe for God and pray and seek his face, and truly he will do it in your life. So God bless you all. I hope to see you very soon. Have a wonderful day in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.